your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Paula T. Webb, bringing you the best of the best in the new age of trading psychology, thanks to WBGS, 1610 on your dial. It's a great place to be. It is Sunday, November 3rd, so let's get cracking here. Got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of, as we do from time to time. Some of it's good, some of it's not quite so good, but we're going to share it anyway. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of the traders out there that have bought the updated edition of The Complete Trader with the new title, Key to Power Profits. Thank you so much for your positive reviews on Amazon and your really nice emails to me, just, you know, telling me how much you like this updated edition. The edition that it is now is primarily what I wanted to publish 7 or 8 years ago. Although Mark Douglas had a different perspective, and so the book never really was complete as far as I was concerned. But, you know, hey, I respected his wishes, and so he published it the way he wanted it to. And since he's no longer here, I kind of get to make the decisions now. So I think it looks great. I think it turned out really well, and I really appreciate all of you letting me know that you agree with me. That's always a good thing. So the next book on the docket is going to be the updated edition of Independent Prosperity, which is going to take the trader through the step-by-step process they're going to need to unencumber themselves from limiting beliefs, which then translate into trading errors, so they can clean the house, shall we say, a mental house cleaning, truly clean house, and develop a set of mental skills to create dominion with your equity. Now, when I say dominion, that doesn't mean control. Dominion means that you host yourself by believing in yourself, believing in your ability to take any type of profit out of the markets that you can, and then growing that. So that's going to be done in a couple weeks, and we're pretty excited about it. We're already getting some good preview reviews from some test markets, and we're going to be rocking and rolling on that. So now, the not so nice side of housekeeping. Look, guys, I'm just not going to say this anymore. I understand this is the world we live in. There's pirated downloads of our workshops, so much so that, you know, Mark couldn't host workshops before he died, and it's extremely difficult for me to have workshops for all of you, which I would love to do. So if you want to go and watch the pirated downloads for free, that's your prerogative, obviously. But do not contact me and ask for the manuals and all the other accompanying materials that were given out at the workshops. These workshops that you're seeing online, traders paid to come to them, okay? We didn't do these workshops for free, and you know this. And you also know that we did not post them, because there is no link to us on any of these illegal downloads. So please stop embarrassing yourself and you know, contacting our office asking for more free materials. This is all you're going to get. That's it. Okay? So wrap your brain around it, that what's out there right now, that is all. Period. The end. Second of all, there are now some paperback editions of The Disciplined Trader and Trading in the Zone by some low-level criminal printing them in India and sending them selling them on Amazon and eBay right now. It's one guy. We know who he is. These were done on a copy machine, guys, because we ordered copies of them. They're so awful, it's ridiculous. So if you want to get a cheap version of, you know, two of our books, knowing that they're counterfeit, then you get what you pay for. So again, do not contact me and ask for a refund. You didn't buy it from us. You didn't buy it from anybody reputable. You know that they're counterfeit. They're crappy copies. So don't call me anymore, okay? Because I'm not going to respond. I will literally hang up on you and I will block your emails. And then with that said, if you turn around and start trashing me on the internet, my legal team will come after you for slander. So I do not owe you anything for crappy, illegal, counterfeit goods that you search the internet to buy. Okay? So just that's it. Okay? We're done with that. And do with it what you may, think about it, but just know, don't call me up and say, oh, I respect Mark so much, but I want more free stuff. It's not happening. Okay? And all you're doing is hurting yourself as a trader. Because by searching for free materials from anyone, all you're doing is reinforcing in your mind that you do not have enough money to pay for any educational materials for your trading. So you're creating a set of conflicting beliefs. And you can watch those videos, like I said in a previous show, 1,000 times, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it because you got the material for free. And deep down inside, we both know you feel guilty. So that's, I'm busting your chops here a little bit, guys, but that's the way it goes. All right. So be respectful, be a professional, learn how to trade and do it well. Okay. Do it professionally. Do it the way it's meant to be done. All right. So now we got that out of the way. One of the questions that we got this week was how do traders know when they're not thinking prosperously, shall we say, or they don't have a wealth mindset? And I'm going to give you a good example of this, and it's probably take up a little bit of time, but I think you guys should really hear this. It's a story that happened to me, and so I'm just going to share it. When right after Mark passed away, we were living in Scottsdale on business. We were working with Larry Pesavento in Tucson, and so we were out in Arizona for some time. And but we were packing up to move back to Chicago, and because we were going to be working with the CME Group, and you know some other trading firms out there. And I couldn't wait to go home. I was just really excited. So I took a trip to Chicago to find a place to live. We decided to just rent an apartment while we looked for a condo or something. But, you know, we were pretty familiar with Chicago because we lived there for 25 years. But we had been gone for a couple of years. So, you know, things changed. So I got there. I'm all excited. Went and looked at a bunch of apartment buildings and, you know, did some shopping on Michigan Avenue and, you know, went and got something to eat. I went to a great Italian restaurant on Ohio Street, a little small place, and I don't remember the name, sorry, but it's right off Michigan Avenue. And I had some of the best pasta I've ever eaten since we left Chicago. So, I mean, because to be honest with you, Arizona, even in Scottsdale, they're just not known for their quality cuisine, okay? So anyway, so I'm walking back from the restaurant. I had some leftovers in my hand and some shopping bags. And I don't know, about 15, 20 feet outside the hotel I was staying at was a man sitting on the sidewalk asking for a handout. Now, normally I give just about anyone I meet, you know, some change or a couple dollars. But for some reason, this guy, he was different. And it was beginning to rain. It was just kind of a misty rain. And he said he was trying to get enough money for a room at the Pacific Garden Mission. The Pacific Garden Mission is a Christian shelter that Mark and I used to donate to when we lived in Chicago. It's a great organization and not pushy with the religion. So this man said that it cost $14 to get a bed there, and he didn't have the money. Now, I don't know if that was true or not, but I thought, okay, I'll hand him a 20. I'll feel like a good person. And then I said, can I get you something to eat? And all of a sudden he began to cry and asked if I would pray for him because he really wanted to die. He said he was so tired and wished that God would just take him, but he knew that God doesn't do that. And again, he asked if I would pray for him. Otherwise, he didn't know what he would do. I'll be honest with you, folks. I was surprised. I've never really said too much to any homeless or street people other than, you know, here's some money. And I certainly never had any of them ask me to pray with them or for them. But I thought, okay, there's something here that I need to pay attention to. So he asked if he could take a hold of my hand. So I let him, even though I'm still very careful because you don't know if he's going to rob you or whatever. I mean, let's be honest, it's just the way the world is. So we stood there holding hands while, you know, this misty rain fell down on us. I was aware of all the people walking down the sidewalk, making a wide berth around us. They didn't want to get anywhere near us. And I'm sure, you know, you guys know that most people ignore street people. And in that moment, I felt this man's loneliness, how deeply isolated he felt. And it wasn't a good feeling because I, too, was experiencing that same loneliness going back to Chicago without a husband. Now, of course, I didn't know his circumstances, but that didn't matter. I did feel what he was feeling. And that was something new for me because I had never really conversed with any street person or homeless people. But I felt what he was feeling, and it was an overwhelming sense of sadness. So I had to think about that for a moment. So hold on to that thought, and we'll be back after the break because I want to finish this story with you guys. So I guess I should be clear. I was in Chicago to find an apartment, and this was right after Mark passed away. I wasn't clear about that before. So like I said, I knew how lonely this man was feeling. Pretty much after Mark passed away, every contact that we had, any business associate, they had nothing to do with me. So all of a sudden, I was completely forlorn and completely all alone in the world, not knowing what I was going to do. So I did my best to pray for him, and I assured him that God loved him and that everything would be okay, even if he wanted to end it all. And he stood up and he asked if he could hug me and could he pray for me. Of course, as I said a few moments ago, I was realistic and made sure my purse was zipped up. And he gave me a quick hug, took my hand again, and began to pray for me in such a loving manner that I wondered if he wasn't some sort of minister who may have lost his way. His sermon was so profound and so heartfelt that it was as if he and I were the only two people on the planet for those few moments. It was really incredible. And then he was done. And he thanked me for my gift of prayer, my offer of food, and he picked up the plastic milk carton he had been sitting on and walked away into the rainy, misty night. As I began walking toward my hotel, a garage attendant looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Sure." And I got to the hotel lobby, and the doorman asked me if, quote, "that street guy had been bothering me." I said, "No, we prayed together." He seemed rather upset. I told him I was a minister, and then he was relieved. It was as if he didn't want to ask if the man was bothering me, but he knew he had to because that was his job. Now, you might be thinking, do I think the homeless man went to the shelter? Do I think he committed suicide? I don't know what he chose to do that night, because that had nothing to do with me. If he used the $20 for food or drugs or booze, it doesn't matter, because I didn't give him the money, nor did I say my prayers to him and with him with any qualifications. The man and I prayed together, and that is simply all he wanted, to know that someone, at least for a few moments, didn't ignore him and treat him like garbage or a deplorable or an untouchable. And I bring this story up because in that experience for me, it made me step into a higher sense of myself and know, look what I did for this man. Look what he did for me. It was a prosperity of fellowship. My mind had to expand itself to accept him in his moment of need, instead of just walking on by, instead of just handing him some money and leaving him to his misery. And I was in misery, and he prayed for me, which prospered my spirit. And this is something that traders have to take into account, is that it isn't just about thinking about taking profit. It is about being one with yourself and feeling wealthy from within. Body, mind, and spirit. I know we've heard this for decades, but it is true. I have to tell you, when I got up to my hotel room, I shed a few tears for him and for myself. But I knew in that moment I was going to be okay. Spiritually, emotionally, and yes, financially. Just because of this messenger from God that I just happened to run into and happened to say, yes, I'll take a chance and let him hold my hand and pray together. It was just really, really enlightening. And now I'm going to share with you a little quote, and I don't remember where it's from, but you may know. And this kind of wraps this whole sequence up. And it's a short poem, and it reads, "Fortune came and loudly knocked at my door with cheery hail. But unfortunately, I was at my neighbor's house pouring out my hard luck tale." So what we can take from this is that when we get so immersed in our own limiting thoughts, we may pass up a message from above. We may be so stuck in a closed loop set of thought processes that we may not hear of an opportunity that we have been praying for. Now, while I was walking down the streets in Chicago that night, I was spending money I knew I shouldn't because I didn't know where my income was going to come from forward. But it was almost like I felt compelled to do so. And I felt good. And I treated myself to dinner. I mean, I was in a hotel room where I had, you know, capability of cooking my own food. But I said, no, I'm going to just go and eat a really nice meal. And then I happened upon this man who approached me and who blessed me and who enlightened me to have more expansive thought processes and not to worry about my financial future. Here was a man who was thinking about ending it all. I wasn't thinking about ending it all, but I thought that my financial future had ended. when Mark passed away. And the message from this man was, no, it's just beginning. That's what his prayer was to me. His sermon to me was something to the effect of asking God to bless me for blessing him and getting him through another day. And that's a that's just magic, guys. That to me, that's the type of miracles that people talk about and everybody discounts, but that was a miracle that night, and I will be forever grateful to that man for speaking to me. And I truly know that God sent him there at that time and sent me there at the same time to run into him, to share fellowship, so both of us could expand our awareness of how we were seeing things in a very finite manner. And this is what happens with traders, especially after you have losses. It doesn't matter whether it's a personal loss or a financial loss. We shut down. We put blinders on. It's like, okay, I'm going to control myself so this doesn't ever happen again. And that just makes it worse, guys. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about here. You have a loss, and so then you start overanalyzing, you start overtrading, or you stop trading at all, and now you have a paralysis. And so that's the exact opposite of what we have to do. Just like me in the rain, taking a chance with this homeless person. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there was other people out on the street. So if I was all alone with him on the street, I probably wouldn't have stopped. But the fact that there were other people around, I felt it was safe enough to do so. And it turned out to be just a mind-blowing experience. So you have to think about if you're beating yourself up over not following your rules or revenge trading or whatever. It's just like that poem says, fortune came and loudly knocked at my door, but I was over at my neighbor's house pouring out my hard luck tale. So if you're focused on anything negative or what you haven't achieved and you're beating yourself up mentally, all you're going to do is reinforce those negative thoughts that you can't win at trading. So this long-winded story is just the point that you don't know where any message is going to come from. It may come from the most impossible or least expected area, but when it comes, you'll know it. You'll feel it deep down inside. Like I just knew this homeless man was okay. And I went with it. And he blessed me. And I walked away from that knowing that I was going to be just fine, even though Mark was gone. So that's my long-winded story here to inspire you to think twice about staying in any kind of limited mindset. Okay? So we're going to get into some good concepts in the next segment about expanding your mindset. So hold on to that, and we'll be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so thank you for letting me share that. Sometimes I get a little deeply philosophical, but this is the approach that traders have to have. Like I said previously, yes, your focus has to be about taking profit, which is just dollars. Okay, it's just a financial amount that you want to grow in your trading account, but. Again, if you don't know what you think about money, if you don't know what you you were taught about money, if you don't know what you know about what it means to be a successful trader, then you're susceptible to, you know, an equity curve that's either going to remain static or go south. So what I'm teaching and what Mark was teaching, what I continue to teach, I should say, is this is nothing new, guys. Okay. This type of, you know, warrior mindset has been around for centuries, and, you know, it's not going anywhere. You know, it's like, let's just say this. How do I want to put this? Okay. Let's start with a little definition. What does the word warrior mean? And if we look it up in Roget's Thesaurus, we can find the following descriptions: rebel, nonconformist, maverick, fighter, alternative, individualist, free spirit. So just think about this for a few minutes, guys. Which of the above definitions do you think may apply to you as a trader? Now, this is all part of my new book coming out. This is going to be the theme of this book, so I'm getting you guys used to this. I bring this up because until you define what it means to be a warrior trader, which we all are every single day in the markets, we are battling the markets to ply our trade every day. And when you're in battle, you become a warrior, a soldier of fortune, a warrior to create dominion with your profits. And you will have to consistently have that type of approach to consistently sustain growing your trading account and your equity curve. So you have to define what you are willing to do to become a success in this field. You have to define that. What am I willing to do to make this happen? What am I willing to do or learn or listen to or incorporate into my methodology to become successful as a trader? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to be a warrior trader? Now, I'm sure many of you remember the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson. If you haven't watched it, I suggest you watch it, because there are so many similarities to trading in that movie. It's unbelievable. It's really amazing. And it would be really good for you guys to watch this. You know, William Wallace, Mel Gibson's character, didn't set out to save Scotland. He didn't set out to do anything except be married and have kids and live on his farm and whatever, you know, raise cattle or whatever he did back then. But there was still something inside of him that wanted more. And that more became a leader for other people who also wanted more. As a trader, the only reason you got into trading was to make money, because you want more money. And there's nothing wrong with this. I don't have a problem making any amount of money. I share this with you on a regular basis. But you have to be okay with that. But you have to approach it like a warrior. Like a warrior. What does a warrior do before they go into battle? And I brought this up, you know, on previous show. A warrior puts on their armor, correct? Warriors have to wear armor. So what is your armor as a trader? Your mind. Your mental landscape. That's your armor. But you just can't put that on before you start trading each day. That armor has to be on 24/7, meaning your mental armor has to be incorporated into how you view yourself as a success or not. And you have to have the mental skills to be able to put the armor on, number one. And number two, to use it effectively. Now, there's a point in the movie where Robert the Bruce, who's going to be the next king or lord of Scotland. He's fighting with his father about he doesn't want to betray William Wallace. And his father, who's an elderly gentleman in ill health, tells his son, all men betray each other. And that kind of stuck with me all those years ago watching it the first time, and I've watched it a number of times since. And basically, it's true. All men betray each other. Everyone betrays themselves as well. When you allow yourself to get distracted or lose focus in any way, shape, or form while you're trading, you have betrayed the very promise you made to yourself to become a successful trader. You are betraying yourself. Forget about your family or your wife or anybody else. The first betrayal lands right with you. Every time you don't follow your rules, every time you move your stop, you start revenge trading, you start yelling at yourself and, giving yourself negative back talk, you are betraying yourself and you are no longer a warrior. You're no longer a trader. You got to think about this, guys. This is a mental game, 100% mental game. I've said this before. People argue about it all over the internet. I really don't care because they don't get it. Anybody can analyze a chart. Anybody can use a trading system. Anybody can create an edge. But not all traders are warriors. And we know this. You know this. Because you're not where you want to be either financially as a trader. Because if you were, you wouldn't be listening to me or anybody. You would just be doing it. So think about how many times you may have betrayed yourself by not following your rules, not doing what needs to be done. That's what you're upset about, is that you betrayed yourself. Now, there's another part in the movie after Robert the Bruce betrays William Wallace and William Wallace is captured and tortured and all that. And so Robert the Bruce goes back to his father and he said, I saw the look in his eyes and he knew that I betrayed him and I'll never do that again. And I'm telling you guys, you really need to watch this movie because that's the type of mindset that you need to have as a trader. And what did Robert the Bruce do? He went on to bring Scotland to freedom because he didn't want to be betrayed and he didn't ever want to betray anyone else again. He understood the concept of making a promise to yourself first. That's what every trader has to do. You have to make a promise to yourself first that you're going to do this and you're going to do it right. And you're going to continue on to do it right. And this is what I'm teaching forward. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. That can't affect you. You have to have, again, an unencumbered, clear, and concise approach to your trading every single day. That's it. That's the only way it works. And you have to stand by the promises you made to yourself. And I know a lot of you make promises because you call me up and you say, oh, I promised God that if I could just take $50 out of the market, I'd stop swearing, or I'd stop doing this. And that's a bunch of hooey because the promise was meaningless because you already knew that you weren't going to stop swearing or you weren't going to stop doing this. You weren't going to stop doing that because the moment you started making money, you'd forget all about the promise. That's right, guys. This is the way it works. And I think I said this in an earlier show. I want you to sit down before next week's show, and I want you to make a list of all the promises that you made to yourself or your family or your business associates or people that, invested money for you to trade for them. I want you to make a list of all the promises you made them. And then I want you to write down how many of those promises have you kept. Be honest. If you can't be honest with yourself about promises you made to yourself and to others when it comes to your trading, what makes you think you're going to be honest and be able to keep a promise in any other area in your life? It'll be just as easy to blow those off too. I've had traders calling me up missing every single one of their children's plays or sporting events or activities, even though they promised they would be there. Because the promises meant nothing, because they promised themselves, oh, I won't move my stops. I'll use my rules. I'll only put on valid trades. And they blew those promises off over and over again. And so now it's trickling down into affecting their children. And now they're adding more negative thought processes and self-talk against themselves, because now their kids don't get to see them, even though a promise was made to their kids. So this isn't just about trading, guys. This is about your entire approach to life. If you cannot make a promise to yourself about your trading and follow through on it, then you will not follow through on a promise anywhere else. That's the way it works, guys. That's how our minds are built. And I'm not putting anybody down for breaking any promises. I'm just bringing this to your awareness so you can stop doing that and start keeping your promises to yourself first as a trader, and then everyone else afterward. We'll be right back. So again, if you get a chance, watch the movie Braveheart. I think you're going to really enjoy it from this newer perspective. Now, I brought up some definitions of what it means to be a warrior a few moments ago, and I want to share with you that myself, I can identify with all of those definitions and more, maybe not specifically all of them on each day, but certainly, you know, several of them on each day and on different days and in the different areas of my businesses and professional and personal life. I can consider myself somewhat of a rebel, maybe more of a conservative rebel, meaning I'm not about to join any picket lines, but I am a rebel when it comes to doing what I do, because I am the best at what I do. And no one can take that away from me by any negative comments, even though they continue to try. No one can take away who I am from me, because it's just a complete feeling about myself and 100% knowledge. This is who I am. And it basically makes me a rebel in terms of society's definitions of what everyone should be like, act like, and conform to. I refuse to do that. Yes, of course, I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not, you know, driving my car too fast. I'm not being rude to people. Yes, I know we all have to get along. But the bottom line is, I am not going to conform to anyone else's definition of what I should do or who I should be, because that's not who I am. And second of all, they have no right to suggest it. I'm also a maverick. I was a maverick alongside Mark Douglas, and I continue to be, especially when we set out to create this field of trading psychology decades ago. As I've mentioned, there was no such term or even concept in the late 1980s. And we came up with these mental skill sets through self-reflection to assist all you other traders to achieve your goals, just like we had for ourselves. Am I a fighter? Absolutely. I'm a fighter for what is fair and equitable when it comes to my books and materials and other areas in my life. As you know, after Mark passed away, I lost everything we worked our entire lives for to fight lawsuits initiated by past coaching clients, which included traders who were in bankruptcy initially and fearful of going to jail for churning accounts, and we worked with them and coached them back into solvency and multi-million dollar equities. And of course, then they refused to pay for our services. And literally days after they heard of Mark's passing, they laid claim to our copyrights. And you can be damn sure no one was going to take away everything that Mark and I had spent decades creating and using. And of course, as I said before, more on that in his biography coming out next year. Now, I also consider myself an individualist because I do love what I do, which is unique to this industry we all love. Again, no matter what anyone says about me. I'm also a free spirit because I simply am who I am. And I like myself. And most importantly, I give myself permission to be as financially successful as I choose to be. And with that said, I do what needs to be done. And of course, I am a warrior spirit. I am a warrior spirit. And you can be too. My point here today, even with the story about the homeless gentleman, is you must first respect yourself. You must first give yourself permission to be success as a trader. You must learn how to think like a warrior spirit and begin doing it. And you can begin this journey by asking yourself. Ask yourself these questions and write down your answers. Who am I? Who are you? If you were at a party, somebody says, oh, who are you? What would you say? I always bring up this example, and I can tell you that 90% of all the traders I ask this question of, they hem and haw, and they say, well, you know, I do this, I do that, you know, okay, what's that mean? Aren't you a trader? Well, yeah, but I don't want them to ask me questions about how successful I am. Well, anybody that asks somebody how successful they are is rude. So you just don't even answer it. The next question is, what am I willing to do to become a successful trader? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go into battle every day with your armor on, with your mental armor intact, and do what needs to be done? Write down your answers on your pad of paper. And then ask yourself, are you ready to take charge of your financial security? Are you ready to manage your future? Are you ready to become a successful trader and sustain that success year in and year out? Are you willing to do whatever needs to be done at any given moment in the markets? Any moment. Are you going to allow that warrior spirit inside of you who's longing to express itself to create your trading successes? Are you going to allow that warrior spirit inside of you to express itself to create your trading success? And write down your answers. Yes or no. It's not any more complicated than that. Yes or no. It's just, you know, either or here, guys. That's all it is. And that's what I'm here for. This is why I bring this material to you, to get you started. Keep you on your path to having dominion with your wealth. You know you can be wealthy. You just need to do it. So this is Paula T. Webb. You can reach me at 760-636-4290 or at www.paulatweb.com. Send me an email. Send me your answers. We'll discuss them next week. I know you're going to have a great trading week after listening to this, and everything is just going to keep expanding and growing the more you step into being that warrior you already know you are. See you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.